certainly good to be back. We started talking about a little bit of discernment. I don't believe anybody can have any discernment without the Bible. I think that has to be the place that we go to. A lot of people have a lot of ideas where they get their source of truth, where they get their inspiration. I hear people talk about, well, the Lord spoke to me in a dream. I had this vision, and I had this epiphany, and I had this, and I had that. And sometimes I think, wow, putting a lot of faith in something that I believe probably just emotional stirs and maybe a dream. Or, I don't want to put too much confidence in my dreams because I've had some dumb, crazy dreams that made no sense, right? But we do have a book that is very reliable that we can depend upon. And perhaps maybe instead of talking about how to interpret first, maybe I should have went why we can trust the Bible. But either way, I gave you those notes last week. You didn't get them. I'll be glad to give them to you. And tonight I want to look at it from this perspective, why we can trust the Bible. You know, if something makes extraordinary claims, there needs to be extraordinary evidence to prove that. The Bible makes a very extraordinary claim that this is the Word of God. The truth is, everybody trusts in something. Every person does. Even the most skeptical person among us exercises trust in many things. They're driving down the road, they're trusting that car that they're going to pass at 70 miles an hour is going to stay on their side of the road. A lot of trust. You lay down at night and you go to bed, you trust that the earth is going to continue on its rotation, on its axis, and everything's going to be fine until morning. You trust every time you take a breath of air, there's going to be the right amount of oxygen in that air to sustain you. And you see, you're putting faith and trust that these things will take place. Everybody has something they're putting their trust and their faith in. We put our trust in the Bible. I do, because of its past reliability. I believe if I didn't, I'd live in a constant flux of fear and uncertainty in my life. I believe when it comes to God, we need to apply those same ideas, those same principles. Who are we going to trust? You see, faith in God means that we have chosen to believe that God exists. He's exactly who the Bible says that He is, if we believe the Christian and God. And so we believe the Bible is the one that speaks of His existence. We believe He is the one that we can put our confidence in as far as where we'll be and spend eternity. We're putting our confidence He is exactly faithful as the Bible says that He is. That's our trust. The lack of it impacts where we'll spend eternity. If you don't trust, you don't believe in God. The alternative to faith is not necessarily a lack of faith. I'm going to say just a few things before we really get to looking at this. To choose faith in God requires trust. To choose faith against God requires trust. It requires faith. If we trust that God does not exist, that He cannot be known by us, that's a choice that's going to impact many things about our lives now and for eternity. Denying God's existence, to me, takes a bigger step of faith than it would if you recognize the very fact there's a God that created the universe. But there's some questions that I believe that is raised in the Bible that needs to be answered by those who deny the existence of God. And number one, what is the meaning of life? Right? If you deny the existence of God, you deny the validity of the Bible, what is the meaning of life, and why do we see complexity and design in the universe? Why do we not see just randomness? We don't see randomness. We see great unity, and we see evidence of a designer. And many who choose to believe something other than the Bible, they have to agree with the atheist Bertrand Russell. And here was his conclusion, that if life beyond the grave is a myth, then life before the grave has no meaning. So if you don't believe in the existence of God, and you don't believe in the existence of eternity and life after death, then this life has zero meaning. And that's probably the reason people do a lot of things that they do, because they don't realize that one day they're going to have to stand and give an account before a holy God. So we got to choose the reliability of either option. Either God is true, or the claims that there is no God is true. The Bible is true, or the Bible is partly true. But let me say this, if you understand that the Bible and the claims the Bible makes of itself, you can't have a Bible that is partially true according to the Word of God. It's all inspired, or it's not inspired at all. And so we see this. The Bible never gives us that option. 2 Timothy 3:16 is where we'll start. And I mean, I don't know how far I'll get with this, but I'll finish up as time permits. The 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and most people probably know this verse by memory, but 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 16. The Bible says, all Scripture, that's every bit of it, is given, so it's transferred somehow, given by what? Inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. So look at that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank You for the Bible tonight. And as we look at this, and God, may we, if we wonder if the Bible is reliable, may our hearts be open. May we be receptive to what's said. And may we look at this with logic. And I pray that if for all those that's been saved, that the Holy Spirit would come alongside and say, that is true, this is right. And for those that may be here lost and question whether the Bible is true, may You, Holy Spirit, speak to them and say, the whole thing is true. The warnings of life and death, of judgment to come, the hope of Christ, all of it's real. And may those individuals repent and believe the gospel. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Get a drink of water. Don't want to dry up too much out here, but the Bible states for itself that the Word of God is given by inspiration. I'll deal with this just a little bit. But not as the Bible tells us, it is the inspired Word of God. Over and over in the Word of God, where the Psalm 119:160, but in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. I want you to understand the Bible declares that the Word of God is truth, without mixture of error. The Bible teaches us it is a guidebook for our lives. Psalm 119:105. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. You'll find it gives us everything we need to know how to live in this life. Now, there's what I want to say quickly, five extraordinary evidences. First, the Bible is just not a single book. It's a different book, and that is a collection of 66 books that are harmonious, that have one unique theme that points to Jesus Christ. The single theme may go through many different variety of genres. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, some of the books are historical when you read them. We read 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles, read the book of Acts, historical. Some of them are narratives. Some of them are law and poetry. Some of them deal with prophecy. Some of them what we would call the wisdom books. We have the four Gospels. You have the Apocalypse, or the book, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. We see all these different styles and types of writings within the Scripture. They're way different from one another. Historical to apocalyptic, from something that is poetry versus something that is allegorical. You'll find sometimes these things are way different at times, but what is unique, there's one single theme throughout all 66 books, and it points to one person. The message of the Bible is Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. And in the beginning, there's a garden. And guess what we close with? We close with a garden again. We see that in a new heaven and a new earth. And so, many Christians are unaware of this fact. Many unbelievers are not aware of this fact. Secondly, how many different writers wrote the Bible? Catch this. 60 of the 66 books, there was 40 different authors to the Bible. Now, these authors didn't all go to the same school. They come from a variety of backgrounds. Some were shepherds, some were fishermen, some were doctors, some were kings and poets and prophets, and some were tax collectors, some men were considered scholars. But most of these authors, guess what? They did not know each other personally. They didn't have personal correspondence. They didn't sit down and they talked. And yet there's this theme, this unity. It's amazing to me. By the way, they weren't able to say, well, I wonder what, Daniel, he wasn't able to say, I wonder what John the Revelator is going to say about this. I'll check his Facebook account. Didn't work that way back then, okay? And yet you find these things so interwoven. And so, let me say, thirdly, of these 66 books, they were written in a 1,500-year period. Now think of this consideration. This is a reminder. These authors, they didn't collaborate with one another. Some people have the idea that these somehow fairy tales by a bunch of Bronze Age gold herders. They didn't collaborate. They didn't get together over a 1,500-year period. The 66 books of the Bible were written in three different languages. And what are those languages? Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Those are the languages that the Bible was written in. And again, this verifies to the testament of the historical and cultural circumstances as to when those books were written during that period of time. Now, think about all these realities together. There's 66 books written by 40 different writers over 1,500 years in between, three different languages, and by the way, it was written on three different continents. And what's amazing is these books have great unity and one continuing common storyline. You have the creation, you have the fall, you have the redemption of God's people as its common theme, God's universal love for all humanity. You have a common message of salvation that is proclaimed, that is available to all who obey the gospel and repent and believe and with their heart. And what's amazing is there was no postal service, there was no Pony Express, there was no internet, there was no email, there was no foreknowledge that one day that the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD would get together and choose these 66 books and say these will be the canon of Scripture. And I mean the ones that we solidify that's been backed by the apostles or one that knew the apostles that said this is the Word of God. They had the 39 books of the Old Testament in Jesus' day, and then they solidified which of the 27 of the New. But may I say to you, we find that this is one perfect, harmonious, wonderful, put together book from God. This didn't happen by accident. Now, if you believe that the Bible is indeed the inspired Word of God, you must believe that the Bible is of supernatural origin. And if you don't believe that, I'm going to challenge you to take a test. It's pretty simple. Go to any library in the world. Choose any that you want, walk in there and pick 66 books written by 40 different writers in a 1,500-year period, written on three different languages, three different continents, and try to put them together and show me if you can prove that in these 66 books you've picked out from these 40 different writers over a 1,500-year period on three different continents, these books, when you put them together, collaborate into one epic story that is harmonious, that has no error, that there is nothing in it you can find that is not scientifically true, historically true, nothing you can find in it that would disprove the validity of every single bit of it. You say, Brother Grant, that's impossible. It is impossible without God. It is impossible without God. The absent of divine intervention, this will never, never happen. Now, I will say the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, bears the marks of what I would call divine inspiration. Let me continue moving. The Bible is a very unique book, segmented together by topics and not necessarily chronological order. If you want to look at it, there's 39 books of the Old Testament, 17 history books or historical books. There's five books we would say that are poetic. There is 17 prophetic books. If you look into the New Testament, there's 27 books in the New Testament. there's four Gospels. There's one historical account in the book of Acts. There's the 21 epistles, or letters, we might say, and one, what we call apocalyptic or prophetic, which is the book of Revelation. Now, what's amazing, in all these books, 66 books, topics, religion, history, science, law, poetry, drama, biography, prophecy, written by over 40 different authors from 40 different walks of life, some educated, some uneducated, some were public officials, some were farmers. They come from every angle you can think of, writing from different places, some from the wilderness, some from dungeons, some from prison. But what we find, the Bible still yet stands the test of time today. How could so much diversity be found in so much unity? That's how God works. Amen. Read the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He brings us together under Christ. Amen. No matter your background, no matter where you come from, I'm thankful for what God is, one who can take things that are just outcast and things that don't look like they can go together and bring them together in perfect harmony. Secondly, I want to say this tonight. The Bible claims for itself divine inspiration. Here's one fundamental question I believe that we need to ask. Has God spoken? Well, I believe He has through the Word of God. God's revealed specific truth about Himself in the Word of God. He has revealed specific truth about His plan for the world. And by the way, I believe the Bible trumps any other authority or scientific book that comes out that says 50 billion years ago, all matter was condensed in the size of a period in outer space, and it started to shake violently and exploded, and boom, we had a big bang, and now everything it is through eons of time and evolution and so forth. That takes a lot of faith to believe that nonsense. Amen? I mean, it's easier for me to believe in the beginning God. That's pretty. By the way, I believe within the nature of every individual, I believe, knows that there is a God. I believe everybody born knows that there is a God. Now, how you get that God is a different story. But you see, if God has revealed this specific truth, and the Bible was written by human beings, well, is it just another book by human beings? How can the Bible be reliable? How can we trust it if human beings were involved with it? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration is unique. And what it means is God breathes. Literally, the wording is like air moving over vocal cords. Think about this. So, God breathed. It's like God spoke. You have to breathe to speak. Right? And it's like when you read the Bible, it's the same as God speaking. And so people say, I want to know what God says on the matter. Then read the Bible. Don't pray for a vision. Read the Bible. For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we'll talk about, yes, it does take some faith to absolutely believe that. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll look at verse number 19. It tells us the manner in which this come about. No wonder it looked funny. I'm in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. Peter wrote, "For we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts." He's referring to Christ. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is a private interpretation. Then you say, what does that mean? That I can't privately read the Bible? It's what Catholics used to teach people. You can't understand it yourself. You need a priest. You need the Catholic Church to dictate to you. What does that mean? A private interpretation. What it means is you can't take the Scripture out of context. Verse upon verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. We believe in something called analogy of faith, that you take the Scripture and you examine what is said about the same subject, same topic in other places, and see what it has said. If you go from what is unclear and find a place that mentions it that is very clear, more likely it means the same thing. Right? And so you get clarity by the Word of God. And so, listen, what we learn from this, it goes on. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, some observations quickly about this. The Bible did not originate from human desire, not by the will of man. Men of God recorded the very words of God as the Holy Ghost moved upon them. Now, there's some people that believe what they call a dictation theory, that the Holy Spirit come upon people and told them exactly word for word what to say. I believe in a superintendence theory, that God allowed the people to write with their own vocabulary and own personalities, and He set over them and made sure they wrote exactly what He wanted them to write. Listen, I had a teacher in sixth grade named Miss Harris. I had terrible penmanship, and she made me rewrite. I had all A's my sixth grade year. Never had all A's. You know why? Because every lesson I did, she made me write it 2 and 3 times. She said, it wasn't good enough. I don't care how good I tried, I'd turn anything. Not this time, Never pleased her, never pleased her. And she loved me so much, she let me sit right beside her desk. She really superintended everything I did all year, okay? Right beside of her. And you know, it was all right, because occasionally I'd throw things under her desk too, you know, whatever. But I was up close, so I got to see. I didn't have any problems. No wonder it took me a few years to figure out I needed glasses. And you set that close to the front. But she superintended. And let me just say this to you. I believe God made sure that these writers, as He inspired them and He gave them this truth to pin down, He allowed them to use their personalities and they'd believe through the sacred text, but all the while He made sure it was without mixture of error. He moved them along, is what the Bible says. He moved them along. He guided them. So what do we talk about? We use some big words. Now pay attention. We use revelation. We use inspiration and illumination. I hear people all the time say, God revealed this to me. I about want to just vomit as much as I do when, and I'm not trying to be mean, maybe you've done this, but it's terrible theology, because angels never become people and people never become angels. Somebody got their wings. They did what? That ain't in the Bible. Huh? Don't look at me funny. Say, Brother Grant, you're being harsh. You die, you don't turn into an angel. Amen? You ain't an angel now, you're not going to be an angel then. Pretty simple. Angels don't become human. I'm glad to get that out of the way. When people say, Revelation, God revealed to me, I say, whoa. Revelation is the process where God reveals Himself in His eternal truth to human messengers. Revelation is when God communicates a previously unknown truth. And let me just say it to you. Somebody comes to you and says, well, God revealed this to me. And you say, well, is it biblical? Well, yeah, it's biblical. Well, then why would God show you something He's already written in the Bible? Because that, to me, sounds useless. And if it's something that's not written in the Bible, you know what that is? That's heresy. Huh? That's simple. It's not true. Revelation is God revealing new truth. Inspiration is when these men get this new truth, and through God working through these humans, these men, to author or to record or write down His revealed truth, His revelation. So revelation is God giving new truth. What we would say by inspiration is when these men took this new truth and pinned it down. Understand? Illumination. Now here's what we do have. You know what the Holy Spirit does? How would you like it tonight if I said, all right, everybody, we're going to read a chapter of the Bible, but turn out the lights? That'd be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? Somebody reaching for your phones, flipping them on. I said, no, we're going to do it in the dark. Let me tell you why lost people cannot understand the Word of God. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit as the light that shines on the Scripture and reveals what it says. They can't see it. Spiritually, they can't see it. And listen, I got news for you. Without the Holy Spirit helping us, we can't see it. When we come upon text, we need to pray, God, help me to see this. Help me to understand. That ought to be our desire of our heart. And so what illumination is, the Holy Spirit comes along beside the believer and helps him to grasp this revealed truth. Now I'll give you some verses and you can turn there, but John 14:26 and 1 Corinthians 2:14. But again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Let me just say what inspiration is not. When I speak of God in these Bible writers being inspired and they wrote down 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, when David wrote some of the Psalms, listen, when they were inspired, God came on them with this revealed truth and they pinned that down. I'm not saying to you they were inspired like George Lucas was when he wrote the script for Star Wars. He's not inspired the same way that William Shakespeare was inspired. And I think he wrote Romeo and Juliet. I'm glad I got something. I mean, you know, my culture is getting about deep. George Lucas and William Shakespeare. Listen, we're fine. Listen, that's how it comes. It's not the same as that. It's not the same. What is Bible inspiration? When we speak in 2 Timothy 3:16, as I said, it's drawing air into one's lung and exhaling it over the vocal cords. In a literal sense, the Scripture is God-breathed or God speaking through a human penman when we read this book. Hundreds of times in the Old Testament, we see these words, and God spake all these words, saying, hundreds of times. Exodus 21 is used, and God spake all these words when He gave the Ten Commandments. God spake all these words. There's two foundational passages, and we've looked at them tonight. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 through 21. What we understand is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I'll close on this will be the last point tonight. But here's something unique, and I don't know if you've ever realized it. Both Paul and Peter affirm the words of Scriptures as they come from God Himself. Did Jesus not say, you do err not knowing what? The Scriptures. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus took those disciples that were devastated, and He opened up the Scriptures, and He showed them all through the Old Testament of the things that must happen that spake concerning who? Himself. You see, that's what it is. And you say, what book of the Old Testament they have? Same book of the Old Testament you have. Right? And Jesus did that. Let me say what Paul and Peter. You see, Peter in his letters, he says this, and account the long-suffering of our Lord and salvation. 2 Peter 3:15-16. And account the long-suffering of our Lord and salvation, even our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And I like this, as also in all his epistles. And I have to agree, Peter, all his epistles, speaking in them of those things in which are some things hard to be understood. I agree, Peter, some of it's hard to understand. Which they are unlearned and unstable rest. Well, that's probably why I'm unlearned and unstable, okay? I wrestle with them. As they do also the other Scriptures under their destruction. Here, you realize what he just did? Peter just said, he said they wrestle with Paul's writings as they do the other Scriptures. What he just said is that Paul's writing is the Word of God. Paul said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you'll find it in Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7, Psalm 119:152, Psalm 119:160, Isaiah 40:8, and Matthew 24:35, that God has promised to preserve His Word. And He has. Clearly, the Bible has internal claims that it is revealed directly from God, and He used human authors to transfer this revelation without mixture of error, and He has promised us the Holy Spirit that our eyes may be opened, that we may understand what God has said. So, we get to this point. There is internal claims. But what about the external reliability of the Bible? And that will be the next message. And so, let us go to the throne of grace tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, and I know that we come to do these studies, there's things that people, they may enjoy more. I really don't care, as long as you're pleased tonight, because I believe we need to be equipped. We live during an age that many Christians are not equipped and they don't have answers. And they need to be reminded, and I need to be reminded, of the validity of Scripture, the authority of it, the reliability of Scripture. And Lord, there's so many more things that are here. And Lord, I don't want to wear people out, because I've given plenty to think about tonight. But one thing we know, that the Bible is the Word of God. It's unique in its composition. It's unique in its preservation. It's unique in its claims. Lord, it's magnificent in its fulfilled prophecy. It testifies to the very fact that there is a God involved with this. Lord, there's so much truth and so much thing, so many things we can look to that would just testify to the very reliability of the Word of God. Help us as your people to be able to give an answer. And help us, Lord, we'll never be able to discern truth if we don't understand that there is a truth that is absolutely reliable. And God, my desire is that by the time we're done with this lesson, that we would say the Bible is the Word of God and I can trust the Bible. So I pray that you'd bless tonight. Now maybe there'd be some here tonight that has neglected in studying and appreciating the Word of God the way they should have in their own life. I pray they come under conviction. And I pray, God, they say, help me be more studious, a better student of the Bible. Maybe there's some here that's never repented, never believed the gospel. God, just what they heard tonight, fear has gripped their heart, because they realize the Word of God is true. And if the Word of God is true, what He says about heaven, what He says about hell, what you say about those things are true. And they know that if they die in the state that they're in, that hell will be there forever, eternity. Now, Father, I thank You for this opportunity tonight. I pray You bless this message. May You equip us as the saints of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.